And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. It's a wild thing if you see what's going on in the spirit. But the court that is without the temple, leave out. Cast out is what it says. And measure it not, for it is given over unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And guess what 42 months is?
3.5 years.
Now that's, in my view, you know, if you believe these idiots, there's a whole bunch of disappointed people right now because the rapture didn't come by sunset tonight. This Wizenhut from Arkansas wrote a book. He was an ex-NASA space scientist that computed that the end of the world was going to be on Rosh Hashanah. They sold 6 million copies of that book. The one thing that he's in the natural religious mind, he's right. The idea that by appearances the end came. It didn't come. Excuse me. But even in the ancient times, we studied last night, the declaration of the beginning of the feast was not the function of appearance, ever. They made all of these grand schemes of people watching for the three stars or people watching for the morning, etc. And the elder of the body ignored them most of the time. He said, it's now, whenever he said it was now. That's what it means to redeem the time. I'm convinced that the trump of God is going to take place on Rosh Hashanah, but the Rosh Hashanah will start when he says it starts, not by appearances. And that's why no man knoweth the day or the hour. You understand? Now, from our standpoint, when we began, why is it 42 months if it's a 3-year cycle? Well, the reason is God gave Jesus 6 months to put up with the disciples' bullshit before they got on the fast track. Now, you have from now until the first of Nisan to put up with the disciples' bullshit. 42 months, the Gentiles should... The holy city, they shall tread underfoot 42 months. But now he's given power to his two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now the prophesying, the two witnesses, better be resident within your temple. Wisdom and prophecy, Elijah and Enoch. The flesh is in sackcloth. That's why repentance is truth is the sustained consciousness of error. And repentance isn't, oh, I'm sorry, it's the turning from self, totally. And that has to be manifested with you and the people that you're teaching. It's time immediately to stop discussing the flesh of any kind. It's to be... Now these then are the two olive trees and this two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in the same manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven. The reason they have the power to shut up heaven is because of what happened on the Fast of Ab. The keys of the kingdom are now given over to those who understand that we are resident in the New Jerusalem. Never again to respond to the flesh. In the days of their prophecy, they have power over waters to turn them to blood, to smite the earth with the plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Your lot is to be killed. Until you get that in your mind, you're going to be deceived constantly. The people you're teaching's lot is to be killed. They overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony, the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. And they love not their lives even unto death. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. The great city is the Jerusalem that now is. No more tolerance. Cast down imaginations and every high place that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. No more breath to the slightest thing in the world. If you're working, the only reason you're working is so you can give. Your Jerusalem is destroyed. Your place of sanctuary, your place of peace, by your understanding, not only is destroyed, there's not even one molecule on top of it. The words have to become harder than you've ever dreamed possible. You must now hate the garment spotted by the flesh. You'll run into a few. On them you will have compassion, pulling them out of the fire. It's time for the burnt offering. You cannot make the burnt offering without it having cost you everything, and it's done totally and completely voluntarily, and it's done only when there's no consciousness of sin, no consciousness of trespass, no consciousness of the possibility of making an error. It's done, therefore, only at the point in time where there is the abandonment of self. Now, is it fair to you for me to say it's time for the burnt offering? Well, that's going to have to be for you to judge. But I've waited many, many years to be able to say it's time for the burnt offering. God's been waiting a whole lot longer. The burnt offering cannot be made as long as there's a remnant of self. There can be nothing left to minister to self, because the burnt offering is the sweet savor offering to God. It always and ever costs a life. If you are still in the position where you are deceived by the possibility of performance, the possibility of accomplishments, the possibility of gathering, transfer your letter. Understand? Now that same attitude must be manifested through you to the people that you're teaching. We're not talking about law. We're not talking about their behavior patterns or this or that. We're talking about that everything but the burnt offering totally and completely seen as less than dung. Now, my job with you has been for all these years to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now you can do Romans 12. You can present yourself as the living sacrifice. Because there is no excuse for you to have a consciousness of sin, trespass, or error within your life. Loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth, You don't want to be an inhabitor of the earth. You're an inhabitor of the mercy seat, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, that which is made without hands. No other place, no other time. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, and having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. It's all tied up on this burnt offering. The burnt offering is the baptism of fire. He who was near to me is near to the fire. Christ said that according to the Gospel of Philip, and I say that to you without apology. Is that arrogance? This is the most arrogant thing you will ever hear. One of the readings that you all didn't do for the Fast of Ab is the prayer of Azariah. And it's Azariah was one of the three men in the fiery furnace. And so I'm going to read a portion of it and talk about it in relationship to what we just talked about. Remember, they were thrown into the fiery furnace because they refused to worship Baal. Now, this someday has got to catch you at the gut that Baal is cause and effect in all its forms. But if you take this action, this will result. The reason Baal worship is so pervasive is that it's successful. There is no system that has lasted. There's no system of idolatry that has lasted that isn't successful. The definition from God's standpoint of faith is the lack of worship of cause and effect. You got to get this down to your gut, or you'll never, ever, ever proceed any farther. They were thrown into the fire because they refused to worship Baal. Now, doesn't say it, but because we know that there is no such thing as the permissive will of God, it was God that threw them into the fire. Understand? He threw them into the fire the instant they wouldn't worship Baal. Can you see it? It wasn't an act of, oh shit, it was an act of, finally.
That's what they said?
God said. I want you to have God's point of view. They finally had God's point of view. They couldn't possibly have been in a position where they refused to worship Baal unless they had no consciousness of sin, no consciousness of error, and no consciousness of trespass. No possibility of leprosy, no possibility of having touched the dead body, and no possibility of feeling adulterous. They had to go through the process that we had before you could come to the place where you refused to worship Baal. Yeah. Again, this is always positional. It's the proof they were in, God knows where, in Susa or someplace. I think it was, in fact. They were probably at the summer palace, which was the media, the Persian summer palace, which was in Shushan, and that was in Elam. Anyway. And they walked about in the midst of the flame, singing hymns to God and blessing the Lord. In the midst of the flames, singing hymns to God and blessing the Lord. Then Azariah stood and offered this prayer. In the midst of the fire, he opened his mouth and said, Blessed art thou, O Lord, God of our fathers, and worthy of praise, and thy name is glorified forever. For thou art just in all that thou hast done to us. That took, number one, it took the recognition that there was never again in their heart and mind a desire to change their circumstances. It was the meaning of obedience. You got it? All thy works are true and thy ways right. All thy judgments are truth. Thou hast executed true judgments in all that thou hast brought upon us and upon Jerusalem, the holy city of our fathers. For in truth and justice thou hast brought all this upon us because of our sins. Now I just got through saying they had no consciousness of sins. They only had a consciousness of paid sin. The debt was paid. You got it?
Psalm 119, where he asks for judgment. I mean, that's what you want to see.
Amen.
The judgment is.
For we have sinfully and lawlessly departed from thee, and have sinned in all things, and have not obeyed thy commandments. We have not observed them or done them. Therefore thou art justified in all that thou hast done. But the moment you say that, you see Jesus. They saw Jesus. They saw, the moment they can say thou art justified in all, you can say that thou art justified in all that thou hast done, there is no desire for a position of change, then you are, by definition, sir, I would see Jesus. We have not observed them or done them as thou hast commanded us, that it might go well with us. So that thou hast brought upon us, so all that thou hast brought upon us, and all that thou hast done to us, thou hast done in true judgment. Thou hast given us into the hands of lawless enemies, most hateful rebels, to an unjust king, the most wicked in all the world. You! The chief of sinners. It's the prayer of Christ within you speaking. And now we cannot open our mouths. Shame and disgrace have befallen thy servants and worshippers. For thy name's sake, do not give us up utterly. Do not break thy covenant. Do not withdraw thy mercy from us. For the sake of Abraham, thy beloved, and for the sake of Isaac, thy servant, and Israel, thy holy one, to whom thou didst promise to make their descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the shore of the sea. For we, Lord, have become fewer than any nation or any people. And are brought low this day in all the world because of our sin. And at this time there is no prince or prophet or leader, no burnt offering or sacrifice or oblation or incense, no place to make an offering before thee or to find mercy. It's gone. There's nothing left in the natural. Yet now, with a contrite heart and humble spirit, may we be accepted as the burnt offering. That position is not changed.
Incredible with the part about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, Abraham the beloved, Isaac the servant, and then Israel the holy one. Jacob was the biggest screw up of all time, but then he was Israel the holy one.
Anyway, think of these things.
Thing you were saying about I was thinking about Elam and the thing you said about the sanctuary where you think you'll have peace. I was trying to put words to that yesterday, and that's what those were the words that I put to it was, you know, what is this thing that we try to do, you know, and that's what it is. It's a place where we think we'll have peace. We created a place of peace for ourselves.
Now, this prayer I just read by one of the guys who was in the middle of the flames, when he said, "Take not your mercy from us." You're in the center of flame, of a flame, which means you're in the flame. Yet it was expanded and hollowed out in the center where they were with a cool, moist breeze. And he's saying, take not your mercy from us. I mean, it's God's mercy that did that. And it's the mercy that has overruled the law of the flames, the physics of the flames. And realizing, here I am in a place that God has moved law away, surrounded by flames. And immediately went to, my God, the whole world, the whole universe is sitting surrounded by flames. And when that mercy is taken up, bam.
That's what the predicate for our celebration of Av was, yeah. You know, we were alone out there. So it got hammered home fairly complete that everything else, including all of you, were on fire. And we were the only ones left in the world. We had barely escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah, or from, you know, wherever you do. Many, many metaphors for that.
The worst possible news for the flesh is fire. I mean, you know, there's no, like, the most instant time of saving your own life is when you're running with fire.
Like it's the cause and effect, and whether or not you're in the place of saving your own life. Well, I wanted to, and I don't want to go into any more details of burnt offering stuff until the others are here. Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy.